A lot of people call the book of Isaiah a miniature Bible. The Bible has 66 books. The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters. First 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah are filled with judgment. Judgment upon an immoral, idolatrous people. Judah had sinned, God's people. The nations around Judah had sinned. The whole earth had sinned. And judgment had to come because a holy, righteous God and not allow sin to go unpunished forever. So the first 39 chapters filled with judgment. The last 27 chapters filled with a message of hope. The Messiah is coming as Savior and King. Isaiah chapter 9, of course, is in the first 39 chapters. But I would just remind you that even in the midst of judgment, God gives us glimpses of hope. Even in the midst of judgment, God gives us glimpses of His mercy and His grace. This morning, I want to take one phrase from verse 6 that will be my title, my outline, and my theme, the theme of my message this morning, where the Bible says there in the second phrase in verse 6, "Unto us a son is given." Unto us a son is given. And I would like you to change one word. And I believe the Bible's word for word of God, and I don't want you to go scratch it out, but for the sake of this message this morning, give me the liberty of substituting the word "you" for "us." As I read this verse this week and thought about what I was going to say this morning, I took the word out, took the word "us" out, and I put "you." You. And I'd like you to do that for the next few minutes. So, 3 points. I'll just tell you what they are. Unto you, a son is given. Unto you, a son is given. Many times in the Bible, God uses words to show that all, everybody, and everyone is encompassed by His love, is included in His plan. He uses words like "world," "whosoever," "all," "any." The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says whosoever will may come. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever." And so there, again, are many, many words, these as well as others, that point out to us that the love of God is extended to all. The mercy of God is offered to all. And the grace of God is available to all. The Bible says God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And so every person in this room this morning has been given enough faith by God to believe this book when it says that you are included in God's plan, that you are encompassed by God's love, that His mercy is available to you. When Jesus was here on the earth with us, He spoke to great crowds. If you read in Matthew chapter 5 about the Sermon on the Mount, it says, "Seeing the multitudes, He went up into the mountains and taught them." On one occasion, He preached, and then after He got done preaching, He fed 5,000 men. And if it was like any other Baptist meeting, there were twice as many women and children as there were men. And so there were probably 15,000 people there that day that heard Jesus preach and were fed. Another occasion, He fed 4,000 men and the women and children that were with them. And Jesus came for everybody. He showed us that when He was here on earth by speaking to these great crowds, that nobody was to be left out. We sing that truth in the songs that we sing, the little Sunday school song that we sing, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." But I would remind you this morning that when Jesus was on the face of this earth, He also dealt with individuals. There was that man named Nicodemus that came to Him by night. There was that woman at Sychar's well. There was the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. There was Zacchaeus. There was this thief on the cross. All individuals that Jesus took the time to deal with one-on-one, all by themselves. When nobody else was there, he talked to those people about the kingdom of God and about himself. And so he is concerned with the multitudes, but he's also concerned with individuals. God loves the crowd, but he also loves the one. And I want to remind you this morning that God loves you. You as an individual, you as a person of one. That's why Isaiah says, and again, I know it says, for unto us, but unto you, a son is given. If you were the only sinner, if you were the only sinner, if you were the only one that Romans 3:10 was written about when the Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. If you were the only one that that Romans 3:23 applies to, where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I mean, everybody else was perfect. Everybody else had kept the law. Everybody else had done everything that God wanted them to do. If you were the only one that was a sinner, God loved you as an individual enough to send his only begotten son to die in your place. He loves you. So unto us, or unto you, a son. A son. God could have offered up many things to satisfy his justice. The Bible says the heavens are his and all things that they contained. And you know, I was thinking this week, we've just scratched the surface of what's in the heavens. I mean, we have telescopes that can see thousands of miles into space, but we've only seen a small fraction of what's out there. And God could have taken a wonder in heaven, a wonder from heaven, something we don't even know exists, and he could have offered that on the altar of his justice, but he didn't. The Bible says is the earth is his and all it contains. We sing that little chorus, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mind. He could have picked something that exists in the earth to lay on the altar of his justice, but he didn't. God did not pick a nice thing. God did not pick a good thing. God picked the best thing, his only begotten son. Bible tells us he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. John the Baptist introduced him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. God wanted us to know him, so he sent himself into the world in the form of his son. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if ye had known me, you should have known my father also. He that hath seen me hath seen the father. And the only way that we could understand the love of God, the only way that we can understand the mercy of God, the only way that we can understand the grace of God was for his son, Jesus Christ, to come into the world and show us. I was thinking this week about that story that Paul Harvey always told around Christmas time about that man that was an agnostic, didn't believe in God. His wife was a Christian. They had 2 children, and his wife took the 2 children to church every Sunday, but he never went. Never went. You see, and his stated excuse was he just couldn't get past the incarnation. He just couldn't understand how or why God would come to earth and take the form of a man. He just couldn't get past that. So he couldn't believe in God. And so it was Christmas Eve one year, and his wife and children had left for church and gone to the Christmas Eve service, and he was in the living room reading the newspaper, and it had started to snow, and the wind was blowing outside. And so he was there in his easy chair, again, sitting with the light on, reading the paper, when all of a sudden he heard a thump against the window. Of course, the drapes were pulled, and so he got up and turned on the porch light and opened the front door and looked out, and there on the front porch were six or seven birds. They, of course, they were trying to get out of the storm, and they saw the light in his window, and they thought if they came to that light, they could get in out of the storm. And so he had compassion on those birds, and he said, well, maybe I can go out and open the barn door and get them into the barn, and they can find some safety and shelter from the storm. So he put on his heavy coat and his hat and his boots and got up and went outside and went to the barn, which was just a little bit from the house, and opened the barn door, turned on the light in there, and then he went over to the porch where the birds were still were and started shooing them toward the barn. Okay, and I don't know what he said, but he just, you know, Paul Harvey tells it, he did everything he knew to do to get the birds to the barn to get them out of the snow. Well, of course, when he started waving his hands, the birds started going this way and that way and this way and that way. Didn't make any progress at all toward the barn. He said, well, I know what I'll do. My wife has some bird seed that she uses to feed the bird. I'll go get some of that bird seed and leave a little trail to the barn. And so he went and got the bird seed and went over to the front porch and threw the birds some bird seed and then proceeded to go toward the barn and threw bird seed along the path as he went. But the birds didn't move. Birds were still there, and by this time he was getting a little frustrated, and he said to himself, you know, I'm trying to help those birds. I'm trying to show them a way to safety, a way to a shelter that will shelter them in this time of storm, but they don't understand me. He said, if I could only become a bird, if I could become a bird just for a little bit and I could speak bird language, then I could tell them that they could trust me and I could get them to the barn. Story goes that just then the church bells began to ring and the light of God reached his soul. And he says, now I understand why Jesus came. He had to show us the way to safety. We couldn't understand, but he had to come. And he had to lead us into that shelter in a time of storm. Unto you a son. And then number three, unto you a son is given. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Unto you a son is given. God gave Jesus to you, and God gave Jesus to me, his son, to pay our debt, to suffer the price of sin that we owe, to satisfy God in his justice. It's not something that we can pay for. It's not something that we can earn. The Bible says it's not of works. It's a gift. A gift. A gift of love. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How much did God love the world? So much that words can't describe it. So much that God had to use that little word so. When you can't describe something, that's the word you use. So much. For God so loved the world. That he gave unto us a son is given. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Unto us, unto you, unto me, a son is given. It's a gift. And like any other gift, all we have to do to make it ours is take it. You know, Christmas, we're coming to that time of year. It's a time of giving. It's also a time of receiving. And I don't think there's anybody in this room this morning that would be so unkind as to insult somebody that when they gave you a gift, that you would refuse it. I don't think there's anybody like that in this room. I don't think there's anybody that, if they were given a gift, would insult a person that gave it to them by saying, no, I will not accept it. It may not be something that you like. May not be something you want. It may not even come from a person that you care very much about. But I believe every single one of us would be gracious enough at this time of year to receive that gift. And yet, there may be some in this room this morning that will refuse the greatest gift that's ever been given, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I hope you won't be one of those. I hope that you will not refuse the gift that God offers to every single person, the gift of His love, the gift of His Son. Say, preacher, how do I take it? I don't want to refuse that gift. How do I take it? Very easy. A, you admit that you're a sinner. That Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. You fall underneath that verse. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're willing to admit, I'm a sinner. So A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that when He went to Calvary's cross, He went there for you. Believe that when He hung on that cross, God placed all of your sins upon His Son. And as Jesus died on Calvary, as we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning, His body was broken, His blood was shed for you. And then see, call upon Him. Ask Him to save you. The Bible says, whosoever will may come, and whoever comes, He will not turn away. If you call on Him, He'll hear. He'll save you. Book of Romans chapter 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll do that this morning, He'll save you. He'll make you part of His family. In fact, it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Would you do that this morning? Would you just simply trust Him? Just trust Him. If you'll trust Him, He'll save you. He will. Unto us, unto you, unto me, a son is given. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for that gift. Thank You that Jesus' death on Calvary paid for every one of our sins, paid for all the things that are in our life that are fallen short. And so I pray this morning that in this time of invitation, when we turn our hearts towards You, I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that this morning they would, right where they sat, they would just call out and they would say, oh, dear God, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but I believe that Jesus died for me. And right now I want to ask Him to be my Savior. Father, help them to pray that prayer. And then help them as we sing the song to come down the aisle and share with us so that we can rejoice with them that decision that they made to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If there's somebody here that needs to do it and doesn't quite understand it, I pray they'd come on this first verse and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it means to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just bless this invitation. Use it to build Your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.